It's time for the VolQuest podcast, where we dissect the biggest news items of the week.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome to the VolQuest podcast. I'm Eric Kane, alongside Austin Price and Brent Hubbs, presented as always by our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions. And for a free estimate, you can give them a call today at 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. They've been local and trusted since 1999 for roofing, siding, windows, or garage. Again, you can contact Exterior Home Solutions today. All right, so full-fledged into the offseason, and the transfer portal closed Sunday morning at the end of December the 28th, which was on Saturday. So kind of watching that and keeping tabs on that. Tennessee, at this current standing, has lost 13 scholarship players, a couple backups, most notable being Gasson Moore. But Brent Hubbs, if I were to say, did Tennessee survive this window of the transfer portal? Kind of how would you answer that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think survived probably is the best word, best way to say it. Obviously, losing Squirrel White, you're losing production at the wide receiver position. You've lost a lot of depth at the receiver position. You flip it over to the defensive side of the ball, you know, and Jason Jenkins and, you know, Jalen Smith had played some Austin. But for the most part, for what it could have been, for what you're dealing with and roster retention every year, I think survives is certainly an adjective worth using when you talk about Tennessee and this early transfer portal window.
Yeah, and I mean, the ones they have lost or could potentially lose with a guy like Mike Matthews, you know, that is, you know, that's all how you want to look at it. Mike Matthews, production-wise, hasn't done very much because he didn't get a whole lot of opportunity. But obviously, the potential's there. Whereas, like, Squirrel White, you know, production-wise is a loss. But, I mean, I would tell you that, you know, they can upgrade in that spot. So, again, it's all on how you want to look at it. I mean, I think it's just for fans, it's just a struggle because it's so different. And then you have all this wave of players, and then their names you know, right? I mean, even the guys like Cam Seldon and Jordan Matthews were highly touted recruits. Maybe they didn't do much on the field here, but for fans, it's hard. Like, oh, my gosh, we lost Jordan Matthews. But what did he do? I love Jordan Matthews. But, I mean, like on the field, like production-wise, like he never played. So, I mean, like, you know, same thing with Cam Seldon. So, I mean, how many texts have you gotten? People have you gotten? What is going on in Knoxville?
Sure.
It is nonstop. My Facebook Messenger, my Instagram Messenger, my own text messages, some guy at the Zaxby's. I mean, and I'm not – that's a joke. That's not a joke. I was ordering Zaxby's.
I'm laughing at the Zaxby's. Yeah. Conversation outside of this.
That's just – I mean, kind of – you know,
well,
where it's at. People are struggling with this new era where there's so many. In the old days, Hubs, you had Brandon Warren transfer from Florida State to Tennessee, or someone transfer from Tennessee to somewhere else. That was the exception. The rule now is the opposite.
Well, and I think, and then I tried to convey this on Sunday morning in the story I wrote. It's not like recruiting, because recruiting the night before or the build up to signing day. You know, it's all about the excitement on who you're getting. It's these unknowns about how great, you know, oh, we're getting this guy. He's really talented or whatever. Now it's like, it's this, can you hold on to what you have? And can you minimize your loss deal? That's a different mentality for fans. And I'm not being critical of fans in any way, shape, or form. I totally get it, right? I mean, your investment level, like, hey, a year ago, or 2 years ago, you were so super excited about getting this player. Because of the potential that he had. Oh, wow, he was this guy. Could he be a day one starter? Could he be a year one contributor? All of those things. And now it's shifted into, well, are we going to be able to keep what we have? You know, it's just – it's a total different it's – you don't celebrate anyone. I mean, nobody's really celebrating keeping someone. It's just more relief. Okay, wow, all right, we survived that one. Okay, who's the next one we're worried about? That's part that's different to me, Austin.
Well, it is. And, I mean, I think, you know, just for fans, I mean, like, use the basketball team as the perfect example. Why you let it play out, and then you can have the gnashing of teeth. And that's hard. I get it. But, like, and it's a different sport. You only need a couple of real guys to be elite in basketball or to, you know, be a good basketball team. But, I mean, you know, people were freaking out last year when Jonas Adoo and Tobey Awaka and all these players were, you know, heading off to the portal in Tennessee. I mean, look at their roster at the time. It was not very good. And then all of a sudden you add this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, and now they're number one in the country. Now we'll see if they can stay there, because they've got a treacherous SEC schedule to try to navigate. But, I mean, the point is they're a really good basketball team. And when people were freaking out, nobody was going to predict that. People were freaking out about football. Let it play out. I've said for the last few days, several days, January would be much more the aggressive month for Tennessee in the portal than December because of what you just said. They were more worried about retention than adding to it, which is why they only brought in four visitors, only landed one of those visitors in Wendell Moy. And so, you know, just let it play out at the end of January. If Tennessee's roster still looks the same, then you can gripe, moan, and whine, and it would be justified. Just let it play out and let's see what happens. You never know who they add. As Pete Nakos reported on Monday, and as have we talked about on our board, Tennessee's working hard to get a visit from Zachariah Branch and Zion Branch. If that happens, then you're adding an elite slot guy, and you know, we'll kind of see where it goes from there. An elite return guy, which is interesting just because Boo's a return guy too, but all of a sudden that kick return game looks a little bit better. You know, if you can land a guy like that. And again, you're competing with Georgia and some other schools for Zach Branch. But, I mean, at least you're in the you're swinging big for a big name. And that's what Tennessee fans want. You know, like, you know, no offense to any of the small school kids, because there's always a, you know, Jared Verse or whoever that comes from, you know, nowhere into being somewhere and being someone. But, you know, look at Ohio State. What did they do? They went and got Alabama starting safety and Ole Miss starting running back, and those moves proved to be pretty good. You go get a guy like that right there, proves to be pretty good. So, you know, let's see if they can hold on to Mike and add a guy like Zach Branch. All of a sudden, then everybody calms the nerves a little bit.
Kind of going back to the, you know, how it's different from signing day in terms of you're trying to, you know, hold on and you know, see if they can keep this guy. And then, oh, well, that's a relief. And then kind of moving on to the next fire. Some guys who did not enter the transfer portal, but there was a lot of talk about it this weekend. And, you know, Instagram stories might have played a it definitely played a role into that one. Brent, quarterback Nico Iamaleava, and then and wide receiver Chris Brazel for you know, a little bit as well. And just because that one was a bigger deal because of just where the receiver room is right now anyway. But the quarterback did not enter the transfer portal, did not request his papers, but there was a lot of talk about that with Nico over the weekend.
Well, I think that stemmed, you know, from the Instagram post. I mean, if that doesn't happen on Friday night, then – how much talk is there on Saturday? How many questions are there about him on Saturday? You know, would there be similar conversations taking place if you didn't know about the Instagram post Friday night? Yeah, Austin. I mean, at some point, you know, there's going to be conversations, and the conversations are going to be about football as you talk to the coaching staff, and the conversations are going to be about requirements and everything that's a part of the current marketing deal that he has, and what that deal, not necessarily what the money looks like in that deal, but what's the next step in that deal that he has for the money that he's making. Those conversations were always going to take place at some point. Okay. But once you had the Instagram post on Friday night, the perception of those conversations took a very different turn. Fair?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the panic ensued because of, you know, the fact that Squirrel White had put out the similar, you know, picture with the emoji and all this. I mean, like, you know, and then you had Ricky Gibson doing it after the fact. And, you know, of course, Ricky didn't do anything. I mean, some of it is trolling. Some of it is real. And you're trying to figure out, like, should I be worried? Should I not be worried? And, right. And you know, the coaches are having to figure out, you know, kind of what's, you know, they don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill either, you know. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I understand why. I mean, I hate it. I think everybody else hates it too, just because it just does not, it's no fun for anybody to have to chase the ambulance around.
Well, and the other thing too, and I'm not knocking any player, Eric. I mean, but from a fan standpoint, you know, it's like, why would you consider leaving? You know, like, I mean, like, this is Tennessee, and you've had success here and you're liked here. I'm not talking about quarterback. I'm talking about just players in general. But I mean, why, for fans, it's hard to rationalize why somebody, hey, you're starting, hey, you're playing a lot. Why would you want to leave? Right? Like this place is great. You just come off the playoffs. Why suddenly am I having to worry about this player and that player? And there's rumors about this player and that player. That's hard. That's a, that's a large shift for fans to try to get their hands around. And again, I'm not critical of any fan. I said it on the board Sunday night. I totally get it. You know, and I get where your frustration was with me, and I understand all of it, but I also understand the shift that's hard for fans to kind of make here, that not everybody's a hired gun, okay? But the perception in the last 3 or 4 days has been that nobody wants to, I mean, it's only about money. That's the only reason anybody's being here. Nobody wants to be here. They're just hired guns for on a year rental or a 2 year rental or whatever, AP.
And for a lot of fans and a lot of the older fans, that, you know, they you know, they go back to an era where you love the vol walk, you love the tee, you know, the checkerboards and kids, they still do love those things. And there are some mercenaries that probably don't care what helmet they put on, but you know, a lot of kids still love all the stuff that goes with it, but they have people around them that are saying, you gotta do what's best for you. You can't let this happen. You gotta do what's best for you. And then it's torn. And a lot of times the kids are the pawns in this deal, more so than the adults.
And it's only magnified, and we talked about this last week, Brent. It's only magnified because you have the unlimited transfer. Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason it's magnified. A one-time transfer, okay, like, you get it. But, I mean, how many of these guys are we talking about right now? Well, so-and-so entered the transfer portal, played the 2024 season with so-and-so, began his college career in JUCO, and then played for so-and-so in 2023. I mean, it's just it's incredibly annoying, I guess, is a good way to kind of phrase that. One-time transfer, okay. Graduate transfer, okay. But unlimited transfer.
Well, look at Malik Benson, JUCO kid, Alabama, Florida State, now in again.
Yeah.
Isaiah Nayor. Was it Idaho, wherever.
Wyoming
here. Wyoming, Texas, Nebraska, and again. Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. I've always referenced this when it comes to fans and coaches. Okay. When fans start clamoring for a coaching change, when a coach is successful, okay, but they haven't got to that next level. They haven't stepped over that next threshold. They're a 10-win team every year. They're this, that, the other, but they're one step away, you know, they're right on the doorstep and they've been there multiple times and they get frustrated because they haven't there. And they look over at their rival competitor and man, they got a brand new toy. They got a new coach. I call it the new car, the car lease syndrome, right? Like you don't want to hold on to what you have for a long period of time because that gets boring. Okay. Cause that gets, you're intrigued by the new, something new. Okay, that fans have been there with coaches for a long time, I think. You know, that's why you see the unrest quickly with fans, and not Tennessee, I'm talking about around the country, wanting change. Okay, I think that has moved into the world of players. Okay, yeah, I'm here, and yeah, I mean, they treat me pretty well, but I mean, it's not really as exciting. It's kind of, I've done this, kind of, okay, I can go over here. You know, maybe there's a better opportunity for me a little bit here, or more the grass looks greener over there. Boy, that school looks really shiny. Or hey, you know, they won more games. Or hey, they're doing this. And I think that mentality has creeped into players a little bit too. And the hard part is for fans to grasp. Wait a minute, why don't you want to? Why do you think that's better over there than what you have here? But I think that's where a lot of kids are. A lot of people around the kids are telling them, hey, you can get more over here, or this is better, or look, this is new. This is exciting. Go get something new. Because they, you know, they remember how excited they were when they signed out of high school going somewhere new. Now you got an opportunity to do it again. And then you can do it again. And then you can do it again as many times as you want to. And so you know, the newness of it. Everybody likes getting something new. Everybody likes doing something.
Like those bottomless fries at the
Moonlight. Yeah, I mean, you go try new stuff. You go visit different. I mean, not a lot of people go to the same house every year for vacation, right? You go to new places. You go see different things.
Your childhood, you went to the same place on vacation.
Me?
Yeah.
No, my dad bounced around. We actually saw a lot of different places.
What about the motel and you
that
know
that was the... that was a weekend deal in January. That's a whole different story for another day. But my point is, people like new, and I think players get caught up in new, and people around the players get caught up in new. It's not just always just a wad of cash versus a wad of cash. there's the thought process of a new start and how exciting a new start can be.
So here's my question for you guys. And again, you've got to let it play out, obviously. You're changing over to the new year. You know, the dead period's going to be lifted. You're going to be hosting recruits and all that. But, you know, Brent actually wrote about this on Monday morning. Austin, you had a secondary last year that got a complete makeover. And it was better for it. Now, is Tennessee going to go out and get a Jermon McCoy at wide receiver? I don't know. We will have to see. I mean, Jermon McCoy, obviously, you know, plays a big role in that. Ricky Gibson's development plays a big role in that. Boo Carter. I get all that, but it was good for the secondary to have a complete 180. And for the most part, it looks like your wide receiver room that's been kind of mediocre the last 2 years is going to get a complete 180 this year. How do you rebuild that room? I understand we'll see what happens with Mike Matthews, Braylon Staley, Chris Brazel. You have three incoming, you know, freshmen, newcomers, a couple four stars. But you know, is it simply the numbers have now changed in the portal where maybe you were going to take one, now you got to maybe take two?
Oh, they're definitely going to have to take two.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they got to have just pure numbers, you know, be able to get through practice. I mean, you know, you just never know, like, when a room gets decimated. I mean, you know, you just all of a sudden look around. Everything was good 4 weeks ago in that room. We had plenty of depth, and then boom, 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 and you're rail thin. So, you know, I think that – but the receiver room, you're right. I mean, it could be just like the defensive backs rooms, which is why, you know, Hubs' piece was, you know, very, you know, pointed, but you just don't know until you see what they add. You know, does Chris Brazel take a step in year two? Does all of a sudden he become more of a playmaker? Dante Thornton took a step in year two, you know, in this system. Now, part of that I think is because they kept him outside, and, you know, had they started him outside a year ago, who knows? But, you know, I do think that, you know, this is a room that can be better, especially if Mike were to stick around.
Yeah, and again, I think one of the things, and I tried to point this out in the piece as well, is it portal acquisition in the wide receiver room is an absolute must, an absolute must. You got to go get two wide receivers, as Austin just pointed out, for numbers. But it's also you got to commit to young guys, and I'll give the secondary a ton of credit, like. We all asked Boo Carter. Boo Carter. Hey, we hear rumblings. Boo Carter's made plays in bowl practice, and man, we hear he made plays in spring practice. And to the credit of those defensive staff members, Boo Carter has a lot of talent. They would say, and it's about Boo Carter's development and where he's at. And every time they asked the question, everybody said the same thing: he's very talented. He's working hard, and we're working hard to get him ready. And what they did is they got him ready as ready as they could for game one. Okay, and they played him and let him experience it in game one with a smaller package, right, a smaller number of reps. In game two, he got some more reps. And in game three, he got some more reps. And then you look up, and Boo Carter's taken over the star position. They did a great job of forcing that and making that happen instead of going, well, he's a freshman, he's not ready. Well, he's got to learn more. Well, he's got to go this, or we got to go that. Instead of not playing him and waiting and waiting and waiting, they said he's our best option there. We got to bring him along as fast as he can handle it and force it to where he becomes the guy.
Well, that guy standing beside of him, to me, they got to force him. Do you like him? You played him a lot this year. Idris Farouk's got to be that way next year as a true sophomore. He's got to ascend to that job at safety. Super athletic, big hitter, love the way he plays. He's got to continue to move. But you're right. The only thing Miley LSU with how they did Boo was with punt returner.
All right.
I think he could have done it from the get-go.
I agree.
I thought that was just like, well, he's a freshman, you know. In practice, he may have just fielded one we didn't like fielded. You know, like,
stop. Yeah, sorry. Put him back there deep against UTC, and I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean, from day one, I mean, I agree with you. But my point is, offensively, I think you have to look at, okay, we don't need to wait until somebody knows all of it. Like, it's okay to package, hey, we've got a handful of things for whatever freshman, put whatever freshman name you want to put in there. Okay. Any of those three guys coming in,
Travis.
We've got something for them. They can't run everything, but hey, we're going to work them in series three. And when we put him in, we know we can only run these handful of things here, but that's okay. We're going to run those and get him acclimated in building. And then next week we'll add more to it. And next week we'll add more to it. I think that's the way you got to look at this thing at the receiver spot.
And it shouldn't be a problem, because 2 years ago, the whole, well, And once we get to going tempo, like, we can't really sub. You don't do tempo enough.
I was going
to
say, yeah, you weren't going fast enough to let that be an issue this past year.
Unless you're going to flip it back and be warp speed again.
Right. But, I mean, you get to a third and sixth situation, sub that guy out, right? But play him some, okay? I mean, listen, I thought Sims did a really good job of early on playing Peyton Lewis when some opportunities presented themselves. Just enough to get his feet wet. So guess what? When they had to have him down the stretch of the season, he was okay.
Yep.
He wasn't a fish out of water. He wasn't completely lost.
Same with Jalen Smith against NC State.
Yeah. How much did Dylan Sampson benefit 2 years ago as a freshman where they forced him in there? Okay, we're going to force you some until you need. How much better did it help him? I just think that's what they have to do at the receiver position as they make over this room. You know, and I think defensively they've done a really good job of that. Maybe it's a little easier to do on defense, but they've done a better job of that defensively than they have offensively the last couple of years at Tennessee.
We'll continue on here with this Tuesday morning edition of the BallQuest podcast, but first let's get a word from our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions.
Hey, Sterling, man, come on, we got a roof to replace.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Hey, Sterling, you ready to go to the top?
Man, I can't believe you guys been doing this for 25 years. Oh, baby.
Now, this is what I call a rooftop party.
We have 25 years experience in roofing and exterior renovations, and we're backed by the best.
Are you ready to get your rooftop party started? Give us a call, 865-524-5888.
As always, I want to thank our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions. They've been local and trusted since 1999 for roofing, siding, windows, garages. You can contact Exterior Home Solutions today, 865-524-5888, or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Hey, one more time in 2024, let's talk about Prize Picks. What is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands and thousands of other players, including some pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and you watch the winnings roll in. Again, no more than 6. Gotta have at least 2. It can be college football with bowl games coming up today and tomorrow. It can be college basketball. It can be NFL with the playoffs and the regular season ending this weekend. It can be all these different sports they have over prizepicks.com. You can mix and match. You pick at least 2, no more than 6, and it's as simple as more or less. Truly, as simple as that. It's easy, and you can win 1,000 times your money back over at prizepicks.com. You go to prizepicks.com right now, put in the promo code VQ. Promo code VQ, you're going to be guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. Again, that's VolQuest, or that is prizepicks.com/VQ. Put in the promo code VQ to receive a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in lineups. That's prizepicks.com, promo code VQ. Before the break, we brought up Boo Carter, and he was named to the SEC All-Freshman team, and he did a lot of good things as a true freshman here for Tennessee this year. And late last week, you know, it was announced that he, you know, is going to be returning. And that's kind of where we are in college football now, right? It's going to be returning to your roster for 2025. Austin, how big, obviously, from his talent level on the field, it's huge, but perception, how big was it? Was that a win for Tennessee?
It was a win. I mean, you know, anytime you can keep one of your better players, your starting punt returner, your starting star, that's a win, right? And you're right. I don't like the whole, like, you know, the constant negotiations, I mean, look, I want the kids to get paid as much as anybody. You know, I mean, it's a billion-dollar business. Like, you know, I want them to get a piece of the pie. But there needs to be rules where you can't just constantly negotiate. Like, that's where I think it's so flawed and you know, such a problem. But it was big. I mean, to be able to, you know, keep a guy like him, he's a playmaker. And he has the mentality that you want on your football team. And, you know, he's an in-state kid. And, you know, of all kids over there, I mean – with the name Boo, he ought to be super marketable, if at anything, around Halloween.
Yeah, I think the other thing too, the challenge now is for Boo and for any of these guys in these situations where, you know, Boo's not the only one on this team that played well this year and are getting rewarded for how they played financially. do you have the same drive that you had a year ago? Do you take your next step as a player? Because look, Boo did a lot of really good things as a freshman, and he's exciting as a punt returner, and I want to see him on offense. Tennessee should work an offensive package with him. But he is yet to arrive, you know, in terms of being a complete player defensively. There's a lot of things he can do better, and he has to be completely driven as he was when he arrived at Tennessee to go win a job. He's got to be driven to take that proverbial next step, if you will, as a football player. That's the mentality that you have to have. And I think that when you look at big picture, let's take Boo out of it and talk big picture, all these guys around the country that are going from what we think should be a bit of a natural ascension, right, Eric, that they get a little bit early on and then they have a great year and then they get a bigger bill or they get a real big deal. How do they handle the big deal? The same way we see it in the NFL and free agency, right? Contract years, as AP likes to describe it. We've seen it in the NFL. Guy in a contract year goes in and he's an all-pro, all-conference, all-NFL player. He goes and breaks the bank, and then he goes to his next team, and he's not remotely the same player he was the year before because he's got it. He's arrived. He's fat and happy. He's got his money. That's a thing in college football that you're going to have to deal with, and you're dealing with it with guys who aren't pros yet.
Well, I think for somebody like Boo, though, every year's a contract year. He does this year, he has a chance to make more next year, so if he goes and balls out, boom. I mean, like, Nico's the perfect example, right? I mean, like, you know, this is a contract year for him because at the end of the day, like, I mean, you know, he planned on being here 3 years and headed off to the NFL, and if he wants that to happen, he's got to have improvement in 2025, which means he's got to, you know, take his game to the next level, which makes it a contract year, you know, because if he plays well, he's going to get paid the big bucks.
Well, and here's the thing for underclassmen who aren't into that third year, yeah, it's a contract year because you can renegotiate every year. But do you understand and are you driven for that to be there? Or are you just kind of satisfied with what you got that year? Okay, I'm good. Like, okay. Like, do you still have the same drive that you want to have? I think that's the challenge. I think that's the challenge for young people, you know, for younger players, is continue to understand, yeah, this is good what you're getting right now, but if you keep going, then what you're going to make 4 or 5 years from now in the National Football League is going to be a different deal, and you got to continue to work towards that, you know, which means you got to do everything the right way, right? You got to be on time. You got to be driven. You got to lead. You got to develop. You got to do everything in the offseason you're supposed to do. All of those things you have to do with some maturity when you have the new element of money in your pocket.
This time last year, Holden Stays was Tennessee's first commit out of the transfer portal. Tight end was the number one priority, and Tennessee brought in two, took one. It was Holden Stays. Holden Stays is in the transfer portal, leaving Tennessee. Obviously, huge news with the Pavia, you know, suing the NCAA and them granting junior college seniors another year of eligibility. That can change a lot of things for Tennessee and Miles Kitzman, obviously. It doesn't feel like that's as big of a blow because of the potential for Kitzelman on the 2025 roster.
Yeah, that's right. Kitzelman will be back. I mean, I know he's not announced anything, but that's where this is headed. That's why Holden Stays is gone. And, you know, I mean, we wish him the best of luck. Nice kid. You know, the problem is he just got passed up by Miles Kitzelman, who came in and was better than everybody ever imagined. And, you know, I mean, Holden wanted, you know, more opportunity. And so you can't blame a kid for that. And, you know, Ethan Davis is ready to take a next step as, you know, as he ascends the depth chart. And then Tennessee likes these younger players. They like.
I was going to say, you hope that they still have the ability to go some 12 personnel next year, but it's up to Cole Harrison and, of course, the, you know, Jack Van Dorsselaer and Desaun Brame to take a step when they get here.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee can certainly still go 12 personnel. I mean, again.
Yeah, they just. I guess what I mean, they just didn't like to, which is two tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, Ethan Davis just has to continue to work on that side of his game. You know, again, predominantly played a lot of receiver in high school. But, I don't blame Holden Stays. And I think for Tennessee, that's not a bad thing because they weren't going to keep them all three again anyway. Somebody was going to be leaving. It just happens to be Holden Stays.
So you look at that. AP, you know, a lot of these potential seniors to come back. I know you've mentioned some things on the board. I'm just trying to hit a lot of things that guys want to know. Where are we at on Eason, on Dominic Bailey? We just talked about Kitzelman. Some of these guys that have the option.
They're all back. Kitzelman back. Eason back. Dominic Bailey back. Joshua Joseph's back. I mean, again, everybody's back because you're past the window. The only person that requested papers late in the process was Mike Matthews. And so when did he fill out his paperwork and turn it back in? Then Tennessee has 48 hours from there if Mike doesn't decide to come back to put himself to put him into the portal.
And so obviously January is all about being aggressive, as you pointed out, and going to the transfer portal. You've got one addition right now, Wendell Moy Jr., to play guard. We'll see about Andre Carrick as he's trying to get another year of eligibility. Brent, interior offensive line, obviously still a focal point. Wide receiver now, obviously a focal point. Interior defensive line is going to be a focal point. And where else could Tennessee look in the transfer portal? Is it should get kind of busy in that regard this week and next?
Well, I mean, I think you're looking out there. Again, what do they think, you know, at safety? They've got bodies there. They've got numbers there. I don't think it's the priority some fans think it is. I think you got some young players that you've got to play. I mean, but I don't think you got to have, you know, three transfer offensive linemen either, because I think you've got some young bodies in there that you have to take a step. They have to take a step. You have to help them take that step, you know, at some point. I mean, I don't think this team should be lining up and starting four transfer offensive linemen and a freshman. You know, I mean, I just can't believe you've missed on everybody in high school recruiting. But we'll see. I mean, they're obviously looking for another interior offensive lineman. We'll see who hops in the portal from that position moving forward, because I think, Austin, if it's going to be another interior offensive lineman, it's probably somebody who has not gone in the portal yet, given what they've brought in already. And Wendell Moy, and then they brought in the Thompson kid who they didn't get, but they didn't bring in anybody else who was already in the portal at that position. And they've known they were going to go interior offensive lineman for a while. The receiver, the focal point for me in all this is receiver. Where are you going to go get a playmaker at? You know, how aggressive are you? What big name are you going? Is there somebody going to pop in the portal here over the next couple of weeks with this 5-day window that they have when their game ends that goes into the portal that is a perceived game changer? You know, that's what we're looking at. I mean, maybe it is Branch who's already in the portal. We'll see. But for me, the whole focal point is wide receiver. I'm not saying they can't use some help at other places, Austin, because I mean, I'm sure there's always that, but If you're going to say the transfer portal was a success for Tennessee, or it was a failure for Tennessee, or a disappointment for Tennessee, it's all going to stem from what they look like at the receiver position when everything is settled down at the end of January.
Let me ask this real quick, Austin. You're not going to overpay for a guard, example Josh Thompson. You will overpay for a receiver, right?
I think that they would go big on a receiver if it's the right guy. I mean, I don't think they're going to – they're not going to break the bank for some kid that played at, you know, some small school that everybody all of a sudden has a ton of interest in. I don't think that that's the route they'll go. I think if they're going to go big, they're going to go.
Because you did that route last year.
Yeah, you're going to go big for a proven commodity from a big school. And Hubs is right. There's going to be somebody that enters this thing. I don't know who it is, but, you know, nobody had some of these other kids going in a few weeks ago. You know, there's going to be somebody that enters after these bowl games during these windows. And that's when it'll get interesting. And Tennessee's going to have to be aggressive. You know, they're going to have to be proactive and you know, go and just get the kid to campus and kind of see where the, you know, well, last year with Jermon McCoy, he wasn't planning on visiting Tennessee. Tennessee, like, worked their butt off to get they could just come take a look. And he was here for, like, you know, 6 minutes. And it did enough.
Right.
He did enough for that. And to quote Josh Heupel, he was here for a cup of coffee. And, you know, but that cup of coffee showed him something. And he ended up going to A&M after that, which is his home state school, and then still coming back to pick Tennessee.
The post-visit interview at McGee Tyson, when I asked him where he's going next, that took longer than what did you see at Tennessee when you were here? It's like all these schools he was about to go visit took up a longer answer than what he just saw. excuse me. You look at Tennessee as well in terms of
gonna have a running back, by the way.
I was gonna say
that's a good point, AP.
Not one of those you're gonna pay a whole lot of money to, but again, you only have four right now, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go swing big for some name, but they're gonna have to have somebody, a body. You know, maybe they go to the JUCO route and try to bring in a kid, you know, midterm. I mean, they're gonna have to have somebody to help.
Yeah, I mean that could be a guy who was a depth piece at a Power Five school that could be a guy who was a successful guy at a really small school. I mean, that could be, I'm not saying the impact would be like a Jared Verse, but it might be somebody at that type of level who would be making that jump.
Yes.
That you put into those pieces. You're right. I mean, you got Peyton Lewis, you got Deshaun Bishop. I think you're comfortable with both those guys. Then it would be who, you know,
DeJuan Morris.
Right. Are you, and how comfortable are you with him, you know, in terms of being ready to go?
Baker, freshman.
Yeah. So you probably need to look at it for a potential depth piece there.
Yeah. I mean, think about Tennessee where they were running back at points and times in 2021. Okay. And think as well. I mean, look at Georgia. Georgia's a great example. Look at that running back room this year. Like four bodies just isn't enough.
Well, look where Tennessee was in the second half in Columbus, Ohio. Dylan Sampson couldn't go. Deshaun Bishop's ankle's hurt. He can't go. Peyton Lewis. And then you were going walk on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no offense to walk ons, but that's where you were going after that.
Or straight empty.
Yeah, you were going no back, because you had a numbers problem there. So I think, you know, you got to look at, sometimes you're looking at this from just a pure depth standpoint a little bit as well. And that's what Tennessee is doing. And that's why Deshaun Bishop is a huge piece for Tennessee. You know, I mean, there's another guy who was a bit of an afterthought when he came to Tennessee, and all he's done is continue to ascend and put himself in a position to be a real contributor. And, you know, this is a guy that's got to get healthy. He's got to stay healthy, but he's a guy who can help you, and you're going to need his help. And I think that you like what you have in Peyton Lewis, but then you need to look at some help behind those two guys.
Yeah, and I mean, the durability for Bishop, for sure. You know, that's another reason why you need to go and get somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know why, because he was the most durable guy in high school you'll ever see.
He got the ball every single play.
You know, but he's had an ankle. He just struggled with the ankle stuff since he's been at Tennessee for whatever reason. I don't think it's anything that suddenly he's this brittle body, but he's just had a couple of unfortunate things happen with that ankle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and again, Cooper Mays had that ankle a couple of times, and then his senior year, totally healthy. You know, I mean, it's all, you know, it is one of those kind of.
They're going to put him on scholarship, right?
Yes.
You're talking about Bishop, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Last thing as we kind of say goodbye here, I think it's important, and we'll see how it all plays out. Tennessee's obviously navigated through roster retention, navigated through the first portal closing. Now you're continuing to navigate through the portal and trying to make additions to your roster. Kind of goes in steps with these playoff teams, right? Everybody else had all of December to start focusing on this stuff. And Tennessee, it's why it felt like it was such a flurry, and how it was, oh, what's going on in Knox? We got this guy leaving. Well, I mean, everything was kind of shrunk for Tennessee because its season was longer. These teams that are about to lose or finish up bowl games or lose in the college football playoffs, that five-day window is about to start. And I'm going to be intrigued to see kind of how rosters around the country are affected, just like Tennessee's was over this past week. I mean, for as bad or chaotic or just head-scratching as you thought things were here in Knoxville, I mean, other programs are about to deal with the same exact thing.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different for bowl teams than playoff teams. I think there'll still be movement. But for bowl teams, when you have a month to get ready for what's a pre-spring game for a lot of teams, you can spend a lot of your time in December working on roster retention.
Yeah, and you have more opt-outs for just regular bowl games.
Right, but you can spend a lot of your time working on retention. When you're a playoff team, how much, Austin, is it, hey, guys, I know we need to talk about this, but let's do it after the play. Let's do it after round one of the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Let's quote, kick the can down the road a little bit. The focus is on getting ready for Ohio State, getting ready for your playoff game, you know, and so you kind of push it back a little bit. Whereas if you were getting ready for Iowa, you're probably already having those discussions, you know, in during that time. I think some of the discussions were just pushed back because the focus is on trying to go win a championship, because what you're playing for is very different than a trophy and some Cheez-Its or a Pop-Tart or whatever in a bowl game. That's why it was different in part for Tennessee, because it's like, hey, can we get through? Well, let's get through this and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it the focus, and it needed to be, right? Sure. It needed to be on Ohio State and all those things. Now, were there kids having their representation talk about money and all this next year and all this with Tennessee's collective? Absolutely. You know, that's going to happen. But you know, I think you have to kick the can down the road if you're those coaches in that instance. And if, you know, like I said, if you're, or as you said, if you're playing in the Liberty Bowl or Tampa or whatever, I think it's a lot easier to bring kids in, focus on who you're going to add and that type of thing. I will say, I do feel like there's been now, I mean, Shadur and Travis Hunter, they got those big insurance policies to play the other night. But I mean, like Cam Ward, I mean, he at least played the first half. I get the optics of him just saying, nah, I'm good now that I've set a record in the second half. But like Jalen Milroe is going to start for Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
ReliaQuest.
That's a terrible name to say. Struggle bus for me. You know, there's more. I feel like there's less opt outs this year than we've seen the last few years for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, with some high profile players. I mean, surprisingly, right?
I mean, and I think that's good. I mean, that's what it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with it 100%. I agree with that 100%. And I think you're right. There is less of that. And kudos to those guys for wanting to play. You know, I mean, wanting to play. I mean, I get it. Cam Ward did it for a record. I didn't like that one. I didn't like the way that looked. You know, it is what it is there. I'll give the Colorado kids credit, man. That game was over. And they're still playing in the final minutes of the fourth quarter. I mean, they're totally doing it. And so I think it's good for the game that those stars are continuing to play and show themselves. And kudos to them. Kudos for their coaches and everybody for making it. Hey, it's a big deal to go finish this thing. Maybe that trend, you know, changes a little bit. And we're getting to a point where it's not, you know, some third-team quarterbacks and third-team running backs, you know, leading offenses in bowl games. It's made for better bowls, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it absolutely has.
More interest. I mean, you know, I watched the Colorado game. I know BYU handled them, but, I mean, I watched the Colorado game because I've not seen them play a ton this year, and I wanted to see those two guys play. So it held my interest, which is good for the game.
Lots still going on for Tennessee football as the roster towards 2025 continues. What will Tennessee do in the transfer portal? What's the latest on some guys who are kind of in limbo? All that and more. We'll be there every single step of the way at VolQuest.com. Plus, number one, Tennessee basketball. Great coverage from Grant and Rob over here at VolQuest. Lady Vols coverage and so much more. Baseball starts in about a month and a half, so there's still plenty going on. Recruiting going to get ramped up with some junior days later this month, all that, or later in January. All that and more over on the General's Quarters and at VolQuest.com. Big thank you, as always, to our friends over at Exterior Home Solutions for being the presenting sponsor of the show. They've been local and trusted for 25 years, since 1999. Roofing, siding, windows, and a garage. You can contact Exterior Home Solutions today. That is 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. For Brent Hubbs, Austin Price, I am Eric Kane. Thanks, as always, for joining us here on the VolQuest podcast.
Been listening to the VolQuest podcast every week here on VolQuest.